Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what the right decision was? Or maybe you were in a situation where you felt like there wasn't an answer. Or maybe you felt like you were in a situation that was never going to get better. You know, in a deep pit, so to speak. While we talk about the scripture I've chosen tonight, keep that in mind. And if you would, turn over with me to Acts chapter 16. We're going to take a look at the account of Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer. And I just want to bring a couple things, thoughts to mind as we look through that. Beginning in chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities." I want to pause there. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of Paul and Silas. They're in a foreign land. They're preaching the gospel, but they're not 100% familiar with their surroundings, the people that are around them, the people that are listening to them, you know, what the culture is, what those type of people do for entertainment, for profit, that sort of thing. So they're in a foreign land that they're unfamiliar with. And looking at it from an outside perspective, you might think, well, they did a very good thing. They cast out a demon from this girl. They caused her possession to be gone. But at the same time, they endangered a couple men's profit. And in the world, can't you think of so many instances where when a greedy or selfish man's profit is potentially put in danger, the awful things that they will do to protect that? And we see an example of that here. So they're being dragged by strange men in a strange place into the marketplace to be brought before the authorities of that area. Picking up in verse 20, it says, "And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks." So they're brought before these strange rulers, and blatantly, those rulers are lied to about what their purpose was, their motives were in the area, which caused them to then be beaten and thrown in prison, but not just in prison, the most secure and inner part of the prison, to where that they could not move their feet, being bound in stocks. One might take a look at that situation and think, well, this situation isn't getting any better. It keeps getting worse. I don't know what to do in this situation. Now I'm going to skip a little bit here. I'm going to skip down to verse 27, and we're going to switch gears. We're going to take a look at this story from this perspective of the jailer, whose job it was to secure them in the prison. If you jump down to verse 27, or sorry, in verse 26, "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. This is a different situation, but nonetheless could seem the same. The jailer, it's his job as a Roman guard to make sure that all these prisoners are kept secure and kept in their cells, because some of them might be awaiting trial. Some of them might be dangerous criminals that are awaiting being put to death. And it's his job to make sure that they stay where they are. When the earthquake happened, and once everything settled, he realized that all the cells were open. He realizes that he has failed at his job, and there's nothing that's coming to him but death. And so instead of facing that punishment, he draws his sword to take his own life. So we have two situations here, both horrible, awful positions to be in, both positions being of the mindset that how could this get better? How could I come back from this? Now I want to look at the difference between the two positions. The Philippian jailer, his thought is, in this situation, that he has nothing to do but die. He has no hope. He has nothing to turn to. And this situation is not going to get better for him. But let's take a look at Paul and Silas's reaction. Jumping back up to verse 25, it says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." This is a completely different reaction to what we see out of the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas are singing and praying, and in a way are preaching the gospel to these other prisoners who are in the prison with them. So the big question is, what's the difference between the two situations? Well, Paul and Silas have God to turn to. They know that God is watching over them. They know that God is going to take care of them. They know that they have a purpose in God's plan, and God's plan will be fulfilled regardless of the situation. And of course, their faith is realized when the earthquake happens and the cells are opened. But instead of taking that faith and moving on, Paul and Silas also take the next step. Is they use that example, they use that position that they've been in to help and teach others. Continuing on, it says, verse 28, "But Paul called out to the jailer with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." I bring this story up tonight just to encourage you all that if you are in a position, in a place in your life where you feel like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, there's no ladder that's going to be given to you to crawl out of that pit, that the answer lies with God. And if you are a Christian, God is there for you. He's going to have everything available to you to help you find that light at the end of the tunnel and find that ladder to crawl up out of the pit, because there is one. He's given you the word, which helps you every day to be encouraged through his words and by knowing the love and the mercy that he shows us. And he's given us each other so that we can reach out to one another. And that brings me to my next point, is that if you have been in a situation like Paul and Silas, if you have been in that place, use that to help encourage others and to help bring other people who may be struggling with the same things out of that pit so that they can in turn go and tell and help others as well. But if you are out in the audience this evening and you don't have, and you aren't a Christian and you don't have God on your side, and you are in that situation where you're in a pit, please know that God is the answer. God is the light at the end of the tunnel. God is the ladder out of that pit, and he can help you with that.